Hello, folks. We're back after a couple of technical difficulties. This is Parrish Alford. I'm with the Daily Journal, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk some Ole Miss and MSU football in the program. Before we get there, folks, we want to let you know a couple of important news items. Number one, this show will become a podcast. You'll be able to search for it on your smartphones, wherever you go to search for podcasts. Just put Daily Journal, MSU, Ole Miss in your search field, and you should find us. And while you're looking for us, you ought to also look for The Memo. That comes out 3 days a week. It is hosted by Brad Locke and Derek Russell at the Daily Journal, and they will fill you in on the news of the day, current events, big stories that are coming out in the print edition every day. So look for The Memo in your podcast as well. Mississippi State and Ole Miss both trying to recover from difficult SEC road losses last week. The Bulldogs and Rebels were kind of licking their wounds together. You know, Logan, I was changing planes in Atlanta on the way back, and Atlanta's like this clash of culture and fan bases and all of this at the airport on Sundays in college football season. I saw Mississippi State and Ole Miss fans consoling one another, and I saw Alabama fans who were absolutely jubilant as I was making my connection back into Birmingham. The Rebels, of course, coming off a 38-10 loss to Florida, and the Bulldogs, what was it, Logan, 30-17 at Texas A&M?
That's right, 30-17. I noticed the same thing. I actually had to make a couple of plane connections on my way back from College Station. I flew from College Station to Dallas, Dallas to Charlotte, Charlotte to Jackson, and then Jackson driving back to Starkville. So I had an eventful day of travel. But in all my airport stops, I noticed the same thing. It was a lot of college football fans. And, you know, once I got to Charlotte, a lot of NFL fans sporting their team gear and stuff. It was pretty interesting to see.
Well, tell me, how did Charlotte get involved in that process? Now, usually it's a Jackson, Dallas, and boom, you're there. How'd you get an extra leg?
Well, it was the quickest route back to Jackson. If I hadn't taken that flight, I got back into Jackson about 6:30 Sunday afternoon. If I hadn't taken that flight, it would have been 11:30 that night before I could have got back to Jackson. That was actually even though it was out of the way, it was the quickest route to get me home.
I understand. Hey, folks, let's talk a little football. Start with Mississippi State, Logan, of the Bulldogs hosting Troy. Not the last time these teams have played, but the one time in the series that Mississippi State did not win was 2001 in Starkville. I believe that was a 21-9 game. I remember it clearly because I was on the Mississippi State beat at the time, and that was the tornado evacuate the stadium game. Isn't that right?
That's correct. I was also at that game. I was a young 19-year-old kid at the time. I didn't have my degree in journalism at the time, so I went to the game, bought a ticket like the normal folks did, and started out in the upper deck and ended up on the first row after the game started back. It was a brutal game. It really definitely wasn't one to remember except for the tornado evacuation.
Well, tell us a little bit about State coming off the Texas A&M game. What went wrong there, and what's the mindset, I guess? How do the Bulldogs feel about themselves going into this game?
Well, Texas A&M exposed some holes in Mississippi State's offensive line. Obviously, they got two of the better defensive ends in all the conference and all the country, and Miles Garrett, and I can't remember the other kid's name, defensive end, but they both harassed Dak Prescott on quite a number of occasions the other night. They only sacked him twice. But they were able to affect his pass and made him rush a few throws. And you saw it on one play where Mississippi State had a wide-open touchdown to Gabe Miles, and Dak just had to rush the throw a little bit and overshot him and gave up 7 points there, turned into a field goal. So that's an opportunity Mississippi State wasn't able to capitalize on. They weren't able to get the running game going at all with their running backs. Now, Dak Prescott helped out a little bit. He had the most carries and the most yardage he's had this year on the ground. And then Malik Deer, who's a wide receiver, shuffled into the backfield, took a handoff, and scored Mississippi State's first touchdown. That was a good play by a true freshman there. And, you know, I don't know how much more we'll see him moving forward, but I think you'll start to see him more and more often as the season progresses. But Mississippi State defensively just couldn't stop Texas A&M. couldn't get them off the field. Had trouble getting them, you know, just converted third down after third down, big play after big play. And, you know, Kyle Allen is impressive, you know, and he's just a sophomore. He's going to continue to get better for Texas A&M and probably will be one of the top quarterbacks in the league coming back next year. And he's probably one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now.
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned that Texas A&M pass rush, and I know that's kind of become their trademark all of a sudden with John Chavis there as defensive coordinator. And it was the same situation at Ole Miss with Florida. Ole Miss went into that game knowing that defense had been a strong point for the Gators in what was then a 4-0 start for a rebuilding, transitioning Florida team under new coach Jim McElwain. It's a very quick Florida defense, and Ole Miss, which is kind of banged up on the offensive line right now, really struggled with that quick twitch defensive line, as Freeze referred to them, really struggled to block the Gators. And, you know, they did sack Chad Kelly, sacked him four times. But it's not only, as you point out, it's not only the sacks. It's how many times you can collapse the pocket, how many times you can disrupt the passing game. And Florida was able to do that quite a bit, in addition to really limiting the Rebels on the ground. Ole Miss just got nothing done offensively, didn't get across the goal line until about 4 minutes left in the game, something like that, very late in the game. Got their first points on a field goal, and it was a bit of a sore subject. You know, at the time, a sore spot. They were down 25-0. They had a first and goal at the one, Logan, and I'd love to see – you know, a statistic on the number of drives that reached the first, that reached the 1 yard line with a first down and end in a touchdown. You know, I'm sure it's pretty high, but obviously all of them don't. And that one did not end in a touchdown for the Rebels. They backed up about 4 or 5 yards and kicked a short field goal. So red zone offense is very much a talking point for Ole Miss right now. You know, they've got to find a plan that works. They've got to find a way to finish drives with touchdowns when they get that close. You know, you say red zone, that covers a lot of ground there. The red zone goes back to the 20-yard line. If you're at the 20 or the 18, you can still involve a lot of the field and run a lot of pass patterns. You know, that window really shrinks when you're down at the one. You know, Ole Miss has to find a way to execute and get some things done down there. You know, this is not a problem that just appeared for the Rebels against Florida. You go back to the Alabama game a few weeks ago, Ole Miss did finish some drives, a couple of drives down there with touchdowns, but it was very difficult. It was a lot of effort, different personnel groupings, a lot of things to move that last 1 or 2 yards, but they did score down there against Alabama with a 1 yard run by Jordan Wilkins and a 4 yard run by Chad Kelly. Both of those plays eventually went wide. They didn't go right at the middle. Ole Miss had the same problems against Vanderbilt. You know, they got down to the 1 yard line one time and eventually scored on a touchdown run by Robert Kimdichie, but they snapped the ball five times to do it. I mean, that's how long it took them to go that 1 yard. You know, there was obviously a Vanderbilt penalty in there that kept the drive alive. So this is an issue for Ole Miss, something they're trying to correct this week against New Mexico State. And it's a good time to play a Sun Belt Conference team that's struggling, Logan, a little more than probably the Troy team that the Mississippi State will face. New Mexico State comes in 0-4 and has been blown out you know, in a number of games, although they did lead in the third quarter last week against New Mexico, their in-state rival, but ended up losing that game by 11 points. They come in with their own injury issues as well. The starting quarterback will be out with a thumb injury. Ole Miss goes into this game missing three starting offensive linemen. Justin Bell, who will be out for the third straight week, freshman Javon Patterson. You know, so that's the two guards right there, and they also will be missing center Robert Conyers. So the Rebels looking to execute and clean some things up in a non-conference game and trying to distance themselves a little bit from a Florida game in which they really underachieved.
Yeah, and looking at the injury situation at Mississippi State, it was actually really good going into the Texas A&M game. They only had lost their long snapper, Winston Chapman, for the year. He tore his ACL making a tackle in the LSU game. So Mississippi State had been fairly fortunate in the injury situation throughout this year. But it really hit during that Texas A&M game. They let five players leave that game and never return. And obviously the most serious of that was senior safety Kendrick Market, who tore his ACL. And he's going to miss the rest of the year, which will probably conclude his college career. You know, it's a tough situation for him. He's a guy who ruptured his Achilles during the Egg Bowl last year. Came back way before anybody ever thought that he would, and was out there for the first day of fall practice. That was way ahead of schedule, and he came back out and has been one of Mississippi State's key leaders on defense this year. And it's a really tough loss. Obviously, they get really young behind him. A redshirt freshman, Brandon Bryant, is going to take his spot. And then they've got two true freshmen behind him in Jamal Peters and Mark McLaurin. So it's a lot of youth back there behind it, and you're missing that experience from a fifth-year senior back there in Kendrick Market. And he's going to be on the sideline, but he's not going to be able to do much, you know, for him on the field. He can kind of talk to those young guys and kind of mentor them from the sideline, but that's really about all he can do. And then you look at Gus Wally, who missed the Texas A&M game. He apparently hurt his hand last week in practice, and they held him out of the Texas A&M game. He's questionable going into the Troy game. And then left tackle Rufus Warren went down in that Texas A&M game. He didn't return. It was an ankle injury with him. We talked to John Hevesy, the state's offensive line coach, in here yesterday. He said Rufus Warren did return to practice, so that's a positive sign for Mississippi State. Will Redmond went down late in that ball game. He did not return. He's listed as questionable. He's in a walking boot this week. Gabe Miles, a wide receiver, a slot wide receiver from Mississippi State, he went down in that game with a lower leg injury. He's been walking around on crutches in a walking boot. He's listed as questionable as well. So it's a ton of injuries for Mississippi State going into this ball game. Luckily, you know, you've got two non-conference games going in. You've got Troy this week. You've got Louisiana Tech next week here at home. So Mississippi State's got a couple of games to sort of play with a little bit to kind of get back healthy. And the other guy that I forgot to mention was wide receiver Joe Morrow. He went down in that Texas A&M game with what appeared to be a shoulder injury. I don't know how healthy he is. He's listed as questionable for this week as well. So Mississippi State's banged up going into this ball game, but you know, you want to play a lot of young guys in this game if you can get this game kind of out of reach early like they did against Northwestern State.
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned the non-conference games this week and next for both teams, but both teams play non-conference games next week that will be quite dangerous. I know Louisiana Tech is a good team, and obviously Memphis is a good team, and it takes on a little bit of a different significance with it being a neighborhood game, so to speak. It's a very explosive Memphis offense. Ole Miss has really had trouble covering the short passing game, the possession passing game. They've been playing some soft coverages. And, you know, we talked about the injuries on the offensive line. It doesn't stop there. Running back Jalen Walton is out for the New Mexico State game as well. But there is some shuffling going on the defensive side, some of it having to do with injury, some of it having to do with T. Shepherd, a guy who was projected to be not only a starter early in his career, but a big player at cornerback in the Ole Miss secondary. He's decided to give up football. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Earlier this week, the Rebels found that they would lose C.J. Johnson, their starting middle linebacker, for 4 to 6 weeks because of torn meniscus. He had surgery earlier in the week. It's possible he could be done for the year. He may not be back until the Egg Bowl, but he's out 4 to 6 weeks. We'll see how that rehab goes. They're already missing Tony Connor. They're starting nickelback. They call him the Husky. And he's out 4 to 6 weeks, but he's deeper into that process than C.J. Johnson is. Obviously, Connor's injury came in the Alabama game. He's just now begun a little more aggressive part of his rehab. He could conceivably be back around the LSU game. And would certainly help the Rebels there. This short passing game, Florida killed them on the crossing patterns, and they're going to start Mike Hilton at that Husky position against New Mexico State. Hilton will move down from free safety, and C.J. Hampton, the sophomore from Meridian, will enter the lineup at free safety. They're really high on Hampton. They think he's going to be a great player, but right now he's young and inexperienced. Hilton has played Husky before. He's played every position in the secondary, but he hasn't really played Husky since his sophomore year. That was his last start at that position. T. Shepard is a guy who really has overcome some obstacles in his life with a hearing disability. You know, a guy that you really, really cheer for and want to do well. And I was going back looking at some earlier interviews with T. Shepard, and there's a YouTube video that we did late August going into the Tennessee Martin game. And he stood in that interview and was just, I've never seen Logan, a guy smile so much, so excited to have reached the point in his college career that he thought he had reached. But even then, there were some signs that some things weren't working out because he was not listed as a starter. He had already lost that job to Kendarius Webster, a sophomore, you know, who took over at one of those number one cornerback spots. But Shepard at that time believed he was going to be part of a rotation at corner and was going to see the field a lot. Well, he hasn't seen the field a lot. There have been some different reasons for that. One's been a little bit of a knee injury. One was an ejection against Fresno State, his hometown school, for a targeting penalty. That caused him to sit out the first half of the Alabama game. But the bottom line here is T. Shepard is having trouble getting the checks from the safeties. And there's been a lot of social media conversation this week about Shepard getting the checks because people want to make it all about the hearing. Well, that's not necessarily about the hearing. That's part of it. It's more about offenses using motion, offenses changing plays at the line of scrimmage that causes the defense to change its plays. It's not so much about the noise level in the stadium. A lot of fans have correctly pointed out that, well, when he was at Florida last week, you know, theoretically it's going to be quiet in the stadium when the home team has the ball. So if you're playing on the road, your hearing should be less of a factor. That's true, but there's always background noise in a stadium. The bigger issue here is when Florida would run motion and would go to change a play, then all of a sudden T. Shepard is likely having to look back at the safety, take his eyes away from the line of scrimmage, look back to his teammate to know what play to run. And when you do that, you run the risk of being out of position when the ball is snapped. That's been the biggest issue here with T. Shepard. And he made the decision earlier this week that he was going to give up football and remain at Ole Miss to work on his degree. So that takes a talented player, obviously some issues, but a talented player away from the Ole Miss secondary. The guy who looks to move up in the rotation would be Carlos Davis. I would think he would become the Rebels' third corner, but I also think you would see those starters, Kendarius Webster and Tony Bridges, play a lot more snaps to start out with.
One of the things I'm looking for this week is just how Mississippi State can get their running game going. I mentioned it earlier that they've struggled running the ball. I think, you know, Ashton Shumpert is their top tailback, and he's averaging 29 yards a game, and that's all season. He's only averaging 17 yards a game in conference play. His longest run in an SEC game this year is 7 yards. And, yeah, just really haven't been able to get the ball going with anybody on the ground. I mean, Brandon Holloway's had a few runs here and there, but at the end of the day, Brandon Holloway is listed at 5'8", 165. So that's actually stretching what he actually is. And, you know, he just can't take the blows. You know, he can't handle the ball 20 times a game, even 15 times a game. So they're going to have to get those younger running backs going, Aris Williams, Dontavian Lee, get those guys into the mix. They tried to get Aris Williams into the game a little bit last week, and they had the ball on the 5-yard line going in, and he gets stripped of the ball by Miles Garrett, and Texas A&M recovers. It was a close game at that point. Mississippi State could have punched that ball in. Who knows what could have happened, but, you know, they were stripped of the ball. You know, A&M recovers at the 3-yard line. And, you know, Mississippi State misses on a scoring opportunity. Even if they get 3 in that situation, that's huge because that was a 10-point ball game with just a few minutes left to go in that ball game. And Texas A&M kicks a field goal to kind of clinch it there late in the game. But you know, it was a tight ball game. Mississippi State scores there. You know, it's probably going to go down to the wire. And, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of Dontavian Lee much this year. He was very, very impressive during the spring. He's a big bruising type of back, but out of that rotation, he's probably, you know, been the fourth back as far as the ones that we've seen this year. Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on with Ashton Shumpert. He's just seems a little hesitant, and he's not attacking the ball. He's a power back. I mean, people in the Daily Journal coverage area are very familiar with him from his days playing at Tupelo High School and at Awamba AHS, so they know what type of player he is. He's a former Gatorade Player of the Year in Mississippi, so he's obviously got plenty of talent. It just hasn't translated onto the field. Now, he carried the ball really well for Mississippi State later on in the season last year, and I really wasn't that concerned when Josh Robinson left to go to the NFL because I thought Mississippi State would be fine with Ashton Shumpert taking over. But somehow this season, it just really hasn't translated. And I don't know if it's just because of that first drive of the season, he fumbles going into the end zone against Southern Miss, and it's kind of been all downhill for him since then. Now, he's been really good catching the ball out of the backfield. He's been really good with his pass protection. But Mississippi State needs him to run the football to keep that offense balanced. And we'll see if they can get that done this week.
Well, I tell you what, you know, Ole Miss would like to run the football too against New Mexico State, but really Ole Miss just needs to come out and play clean, turnover-free football on offense. And, you know, there are a lot of places. It's not just the run game. A lot of places that they need to regain some confidence and regain some swagger. And New Mexico State is a team that they should be able to do that against, even with three starting offensive linemen not available. The Aggies rank lower than 100 in every major defensive category in the NCAA national compiling of statistics. So this is a game that the Ole Miss, even with some depth issues on the offensive line, you know, could reach even deeper, could run that score up enough to let some walk-ons play and get more guys in the game. Jalen Walton's out at running back. That means we'll see a steady dose of Jordan Wilkins early, and he's certainly up to that task. He's a very capable and talented number two. I think we'll see more of Akeem Judd. He's a guy that we thought we'd see a little more of this season anyway, but Ole Miss at running back had kind of settled into Walton and Wilkins, but I think Akeem Judd will get more carries against New Mexico State and possibly even Eugene Brasley, the fourth back, who I like as a fourth back. I really like his vision and his jump cut and his change of directions, but he's a smaller guy and just hasn't gotten on the field as much as the others. I think Ole Miss will be okay at running back in this game. We'll just see what they can do overall with the offense. They're also going to be missing wide receiver DeMario Stringfellow, but they have a lot of wide receivers and they're in pretty good health at that position beyond Stringfellow. Defensively, the Rebels, they've got to cover that short passing game. They've got to, you know, take that away from the opponents, and that means, you know, playing a little bit tighter coverage. I mean, they're going to have to trust those corners, even though they don't have the depth there that they once did. They've got to come up and believe that they can run with those receivers and make plays, because right now those receivers are making plays underneath, and that's keeping drives alive. That is contributing to what's really a poor third down defense efficiency rate for Ole Miss. So a lot of areas to clean up, a lot of guys who don't normally see a lot of snaps that will get some playing time against New Mexico State. But this is a game the Rebels really just need to leave healthy, and they need to leave with a little more confidence and a little more swagger going into the Memphis game next week.
Yeah, this is a game that Mississippi State should be able to play a lot of players as well. I think it'll be a lot like the Northwestern State game where they just emptied the benches, and we got to see a lot of the future quarterback from Mississippi State, Nick Fitzgerald and Elijah Staley, alternated series in that second half against Northwestern State, and both of them had success. I think there was only one incompletion between those two guys, and you know, I think Fitzgerald ended up with three touchdowns, one passing and two rushing touchdowns. Elijah Staley also had a touchdown pass in the game. So it was good to get those young guys some confidence early on in that game. And then, you know, look at some of the younger running backs that could get some carries this week. We talked about them earlier, Aris Williams and Dontavian Lee. need to get their confidence built up. There's also a couple of young offensive linemen that Mississippi State are really high on, and Elkton Jenkins at left tackle, and then Deion Calhoun, who can play both guard positions. They're really high on those guys. They've mixed them in some during games, but they really haven't played just extended reps during games. So I think this week you'll see a lot of those guys, especially maybe an Elkton Jenkins, if Rufus Warren's still questionable coming into this game, they could kind of rest him up and let him have another week of rest, and let a young guy like Elkton Jenkins, who they're very, very high on, they think he's going to be their tackle of the future, get him some reps during that ball game.
Folks, that's going to wrap us up for this week's edition of Double Coverage. Be sure to search for us as a podcast wherever you go to do that with your smartphone, and also search for The Memo for our news team's coverage of all things going on in Northeast Mississippi. Thanks for being with us, folks. We'll be back next week.